wanted to do that. But I wanted to fill that so that I
good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to another episode of Interop Radio. I'm Kurt Franklin, your host for this episode of Interop Radio, and wanted to remind everyone that Interop Radio is the online audio component of the Interop community. Interop Las Vegas, connecting the IT community, will be coming your way live and in person April 27th through May 1st, 2015 at the exciting Mandalay Bay Convention Center in beautiful scenic Las Vegas, Nevada. For more information and to register, visit www.interop.com. I'm really excited about our episode this week because we have a guest. First of all, she's someone that I truly enjoy talking to, a wonderful human being, but she's also going to be able to help us with one of those things that so many people in the IT industry have trouble with. I mean, face it, which of us hasn't come out of a meeting and presentation going, well, there's half an hour or an hour, or if we're really unfortunate, a morning that I'll never get back? What we should be doing, of course, is making sure that our presentations matter, that they get our information across, that they don't turn off our audience, and those are the things that our guest is going to talk with us about today. Now, our guest is Betsy Weber, who is Chief Evangelist for TechSmith. Betsy, welcome to Interop Radio.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
Now, Betsy, first of all, tell us just a little bit about TechSmith, just in case there are people who don't know what you do there at TechSmith.
Sure. TechSmith is a software company based in Michigan, and we make tools to make your life more visually interesting. We make Snagit, which is for screen capture and video screen capture. And we also make Camtasia, which is great for recording screencasts and making videos. And we make things for mobile apps as well, like Coach's Eye, great for capturing things from your phone or tablets, and you're able to annotate and give feedback that way. And we also have some other products as well.
Outstanding. Now, Betsy, I know because I follow you on the various social media that you spend a lot of time talking with people about how to get information across. And I guess my first question to you is, do you ever have to sit through bad presentations, or are people afraid to give a bad presentation if they know you're going to be in the audience?
I think we've all sat through those presentations before, and I must admit I've given some presentations that, you know, may not have been the most interesting as well. But the fact is, you know, your audience wants you to do well. They're cheering for you, and just like anything, practice helps. So the more you give presentations, the better you'll be. So I do end up sitting through a lot of presentations, and I always learn some things to do and some things not to do.
Well, we're going to get to a bunch of those things to do and not to do. I think you've mentioned one already, some practice. But before we do, I want to ask, how do you know that you're sitting in a bad presentation, or that you're giving a bad presentation? What are some of the characteristics of a presentation that make it bad?
Well, I know, you know, for myself, if I'm in the audience and my mind starts to wander, or, you know, I catch myself not paying as much as attention as I should, that's a sign that, you know, I'm not as engaged as I should be. And, you know, up on the stage, too, I'm always trying to scan the room and make eye contact to see, you know, are people looking at their phones? Are they nodding their head? Are they taking notes? Are they you know, are they paying attention? And we have this wonderful thing, social media nowadays, You can sort of see, you can go back and look after your presentation to see, you know, what people were saying about it. We have more access to this unfiltered feedback than ever before. People might not be willing to talk to you after the presentation and necessarily give their feedback, but you can definitely hopefully see online and get sort of an idea of how you were doing and what you could change the next time.
One of the things that you just mentioned is the online component, and a lot of us are called on at this point to give presentations not just face-to-face,
right,
but, you know, over the internet, whether it's through a Google Hangout or a Skype group call, or even putting together a video that might go out on something like a YouTube or something else. From your perspective, are the rules of good presentation different for the different media, or are there certain things that are consistent throughout that help make a presentation good or bad, regardless of how you're giving it?
I think there's certain elements that always make a good presentation. And certainly when you have to do things online like webinars or, you know, Google Hangouts, as you mentioned, you're not going to be able to necessarily see your audience. You know, for a webinar, you usually think somebody probably is multitasking. They're probably working while they're listening, and you don't get that visual eye contact or the facial expressions that you might see when you're up on stage, and that can make some things trickier. But at the end of the day, you know, the way your slides look, good storytelling, those sort of things, those work whether you're doing a podcast or a radio show or doing a presentation live in front of an audience. So some of those rules still apply.
Okay, well, we talked a little bit about what makes a bad presentation. What, you know, to flip it around,
right,
for you, are the hallmarks of a really good presentation? Are there things that are consistent that you see in presentations where you come away going, boy, that I'm really glad I was there for this presentation?
Right. I think a lot of the great presenters that I know, they, even before they start touching any technology, they sit down and they think about their audience. You know, they want to know more about their audience. So with their audience in mind, they think about the size of the font they're using for the room. They think about the stories they're going to tell. They think about the acronyms and the words that they're going to use. And I think any presenter that thinks about the audience and puts themselves in the audience shoes, they always come out having a more interesting and dynamic presentation. And practice. I've seen a lot of presentations where the presenter they'll get to the end of their time slot and they'll either run over, causing you to miss maybe a break or lunch, or they won't be able to give you all the information you need, and they end up apologizing. And I think we talked a little bit about the importance of practice. Well, you should really be practicing your presentations before you get up and present them. You should know the timing. You should know if it's too long or too short. You can also record it to see what your body language is. There's all this prep that should happen before you even get in front of an audience, and you can get feedback from others. And I think that's what really makes the presentation. There's so much work that happens before you even start making that presentation, and then, you know, all the practice once you've created it. And that shows, or it doesn't show, if you haven't done that legwork before you get up on stage.
Okay, now we've talked about the good and the bad presentations, and you started talking a little bit about what it takes to make a good presentation. So I've heard you talk about learning your audience, knowing who you're talking to, and practice. Are there other things, for example, do you have to include visual aids for it to be a good presentation? Is that something that we now just absolutely expect in any kind of presentation?
Yeah, I think your visuals are so important to helping you tell tell a story. I mean, you can really bring out people's emotions or grab their interests with the visuals. And, you know, it's fine to put words on slides, but just make sure your audience can read them. And also, your slide should be a cue to you on what you're going to talk about. That doesn't mean you're going to put everything on that slide and you're going to read it out loud. It should just be enough on that slide to trigger your brain to remind you what you were going to talk about on slide three. But visuals are so, so powerful and so moving. As the old saying goes, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words.
Well, on that notion of the picture, I know that I have talked to some people who maintain that, you know, unless you've got, you know, some critical numbers or something like that that need to be shown to the audience,
sure,
that slides really shouldn't have words on them at all, that they should be purely visual. It sounds like you're not quite that dogmatic, but in your mind, is there a really good ratio of, you know, say, words to images, or is it something that depends on exactly what you're going to be presenting to the audience?
I think it depends on what you're presenting and your audience. I mean, if you're presenting to a bunch of executives and you need, like you said, you're going to maybe need to show some charts or some statistics or, you know, some of those hardcore facts or graphs, and you're just and there's ways you can make those visually interesting. Also, I mean, there's I see a lot of technology fails. I think you should be able to give your presentation without your slides. I've seen a lot of presenters, just even keynoters, unable to continue because of a, you know, technology problem. I want people to be able to get up there and talk with the audience. Or I've seen visuals that would have been great, but the room maybe was too light and they didn't think about, you know, the color of their visuals. Their picture might have been too light to show up in a room with that projector. So if you can get into the room before you have to present, that's great. You can check out the, you know, projector, you can check out the room, you can see how light or dark is, you can put your slides up, you can stand in the back of the room and see what those people are gonna see. So any of that sort of stuff you can do is always helpful as well.
Well, I've got to ask you, you mentioned keynote addresses, and I'll get back. I want to touch on those again in a minute, but before I even get there, one of the things that I've been in a lot of meetings, and it seems that people feel like, in addition to just slides with words and numbers, that now they need to have something like a video, that it, you know, they need to have something moving on the screen at some point in their presentation. Is that really important? Do you find that that's an, you know, a critical part of a good presentation, or is that the sort of thing that can distract from the message that someone's giving?
I think a video can be very powerful in conveying your message when used correctly. Now, I've been in presentations where they'll play a video that just tends to go on and on. You know, it's, you know, like a 10-minute video, and to me, it's like, well, maybe I could have watched that before the presentation or something like that. So I just always try to be mindful that it's a shorter clip, and something that's maybe really important to getting your message across. You don't want, you know, a video for 10, 15, 20 minutes. You know, you're going to lose your audience at that point.
Yeah, I tend to think if you're going to show a 20-minute video that you really need to have popcorn available for your attendees.
Right, right. Well,
There are a lot of other points I want to get to. We're going to do that in just a moment. But before we do, though, I want to remind everyone that they are listening to Interop Radio. Interop Radio is the online audio component, pardon me, of Interop Las Vegas, connecting the IT community. Interop Las Vegas will be live April 27th through May 1st, 2015, at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. For more information, please go to www.interop.com. Now, Betsy, just before our little break, you were talking about videos and the length of time. And I was wondering if you have any feel for or any rules about pacing. I know that when I was learning video production, we talked about the beats in a video and having sort of a rhythm of a video production. Is that something that people should be aware of? Should there be a rhythm or a series of beats to a presentation? Or is it more complicated and individual than that?
I think you really, that goes back, again, back to your audience, but that's a good thing to think about, the rhythm, the beat, where your presentation is headed and how you lay it all out. But, I mean, especially for video, I always tend to look at Hollywood. I take my cues from what they do and how they shoot it and sort of the structure of their things, you know, look at maybe commercials and see what makes a great commercial, and that can be a good thing for your little teaser video in your presentation, or how many different camera shots do you need. But there's a lot of cues you can take from Hollywood and incorporate those into your presentation.
It's an interesting idea, looking at things that you enjoy from a Hollywood production and saying, why do I like this? What's working? I know I found it fascinating at one point when I started going through with a little stopwatch and counting how long the shots lasted.
Right.
And it's astounding how short most shots in films or in television programs really are.
It's pretty short, and I'm guessing they're getting shorter. I mean, I people don't want to watch videos as long as, you know, they did in the past. You watch, an hour-long software demo? Probably not.
Not on purpose, no.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've talked about a number of things. Are there tools that you find useful when people are putting together presentations? First of all, do you have opinions about writing out a presentation versus having an outline in front of you, and whether it's better to do that from a cue card, from 3x5 index cards, from a tablet? Does any of that matter, or are they all just tools towards the same end?
I think it really depends on you and the user. I mean, I sometimes use a mix between index cards and an iPad. If it's a presentation I've done many, many times, maybe I don't use anything. And those presentations are sometimes the best because you're always tweaking them and learning and changing it and getting better and better. But if it's a presentation I'm giving for the first time and the only time, I might need, you know, a few more notes. I might use my iPad for that. Depends on the room setup. But really, there are a couple tools that I like. Sometimes I start with post-it notes and start trying to lay out and move, my ideas and things that I want to make sure I talk about. Sometimes I use Evernote. I use Evernote a lot while I take notes and start, to think about my presentation. I try and do a lot of graphics, so I'm always using, tools like Snagit for screenshots. I am biased. That is what we create. And if I ever have to show software or a website or an app, I never count on those things working. I never count on Wi-Fi. So I always make sure that I take a video of any software I want to show or any app. Especially if it's a beta version of an app, I want to make sure I get a video with it working the way it's supposed to and no surprises. I've been in presentations before, and as soon as you give out a URL, everybody's going to go pull that URL up, which can be taxing on the Wi-Fi. So I've seen presenters able to get a good connection on the Wi-Fi and is unable to bring up that URL to show everyone. If he had made a video or even had a screenshot, he could have carried on in his presentation. So I always try and think about those sort of things as I'm preparing my presentation. What sort of visuals and video assets do I need?
You know, you've been talking about the different pieces of the presentation. What do you think are the skills that pretty much everyone in business should develop if they're going to be good at getting their point across in presentations? Are there, you know, do people really need to have a good sense of design, or can they lean on other, you know, built-in things for that? Do they need to have a sense of a strong speaking voice, or is their own natural voice enough? What are the skills that people should work on developing if they are going to include presentations as part of their skill set in their work week?
Sure. For anybody who wants to improve or gain these skills, you're not alone, which is good. There are groups like Toastmasters, and they will help teach you to become a better speaker. And they have meetings, and they will critique you and help you practice and help you prepare. I would recommend anybody who wants to improve or be a great speaker, look into improv. Take an improv class. There's many books about it. There's videos about improv. Improv can really help your presentations be more interesting and engaging, and they also help if anything happens during your presentation. They help you just roll along and keep going. Storytelling. I think storytelling is a huge part of getting your ideas and information across. And look at the people that you really find interesting and engaging as speakers and see what you can learn from them and break down from them. On the graphics side, I'm not a graphic designer. I wish I was. But I get help from either friends I know or I learned to become a better photographer. That came with some time so I could take my own pictures and add them to my presentations. There's lots of stock art. And there are people you can hire to help you make your presentations look graphically more interesting as well, but there's also a lot that you can learn yourself.
Well, I know we're getting down towards the tail end of our conversation here, but I've got a couple of questions that people tend to ask, and these are going to be some broad generalization questions, so we understand that. But I've heard people say that in so many aspects of business, the folks in who are younger, let's say in their 20s to early 30s, have a different visual sense, have a different sense of pacing. They're used to watching different kinds of programming than, say, some of their colleagues who are older. When you hear people giving presentations, are you finding any sort of generational differences, or are business presentations one of those categories of things that remain the same regardless of the shifting winds of general culture?
I think all of us are changing in the way we view things. I don't know about you, but you know, my attention span seems to be getting shorter and shorter. You know, it's 140 characters worth sometimes. I do think you really do need to think about your audience. If you're speaking to a mixed crowd, you know, you might have some people that are taking notes vigorously. You might with pen and paper. You might have some people that are, you know, typing and taking notes. You might have some people not taking notes at all. You might, you know, I think everybody's attention span is getting a lot shorter. And when in doubt, you know, see if you can practice in front of, you know, a relative. See if you've got a coworker who's sort of the demographic of the people you're presenting. Practice on them. Make a video and practice yourself and post it on Facebook and see what your friends and family think of it. People are always willing to share their feedback, whether you want it or not.
I like that whether you want their feedback may not be the big deciding factor in whether they're willing to give it.
Right. I love feedback. I mean, that's the only way I improve. I'd rather know than not know. So, yeah, feedback's great.
You know, another breakdown, one of the things that we're talking about at Interop this year is the role of women in the tech field. And when you have watched presentations, when you've been in the audience, have you seen any differences in the way that men and women in the field tend to give presentations or respond to presentations? Are there things that people need to be aware of about that kind of diversity in the audience that they may be speaking to?
That's a good one. Being in the tech industry, naturally, there usually are just more men presenting. I go to presentations at tech conferences around the world, and that is the state of it today. But there are usually women presenting as well. I think at the end of the day, a good presentation is a good presentation. It doesn't matter who it's delivered by. People just need to tell their story and use good words and great visuals. Typically in the audience at most tech conferences, it is more men often. I'm trying to think if I've seen any differences, really.
Well, it would be nice if this were one of those areas where there's not a huge difference.
Right.
Where, as you say, a good presentation is a good presentation, and I think we all can hope that before too long, the demographics of the audiences for presentations in the industry can look a little bit different as well.
True, yeah. And you might want to be sensitive when you give examples and you use, like he, she, things like that. Especially if you're talking to an international audience as well, they might not know your reference to, Martha Stewart or, some NFL team. So I just think about the examples that you're using and the graphics you're using and things like that. That's always sort of helpful if you've got, different demographics, male versus female or international.
Well, Betsy, I'm afraid that we are, in fact, at the end of our time for today. This has been outstanding. And before we go, I just wanted to ask if you could give people one or two things to remember when they're getting ready to give a presentation. What would those be? What are the top couple of things that people need to keep in mind?
Sure. I would like everybody to think about their audience before they even start using any sort of technology. Sit back, think about your audience, and put yourself in their shoes. And I really want people to practice, and practice some more, and then practice again. And think about storytelling, and think about presentations you like to watch and you really get, excited about, and look at the elements that they have that you could learn and use yourself in your presentation.
Outstanding. Well, Betsy, thank you so much. Now, I know that there are going to be a lot of people, having heard this, who would love to keep following your ideas about all kinds of things. So in the great big world of social media and writing, where can people follow you? Where can people keep up with all that you're doing?
Sure. They can follow me. You can find me on most social media channels by my name, just Betsy Weber, BETSYWEBER. And then I also write for the TechSmith blog, and I write some tips on there about better presentations and other things like that. So,
well, thank you so much. This has been our conversation with Betsy Weber, Chief Evangelist with TechSmith, been talking about presentations. Presentations are going to be all over the place at Interop Las Vegas. Interop Las Vegas, connecting the IT community. That happens April 27th through May 1st, 2015, at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas. Please go to www.interop.com for more information or to register for the conference. Now, this is Interop Radio. We go live every week at 3 p.m. Eastern here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, if you're listening to the program on demand here at Blog Talk Radio or as a podcast on iTunes, we're glad that you're in the audience, and we hope that you will continue to follow our weekly episodes, but we would love to have you join us for those live sessions, because we also have a great live online discussion in the text chat window. Love to have you there, but we're glad to have you in the audience. Now, in upcoming weeks, we've got many of the companies who are going to be part of InteropNet and the SDN Lab who will be our guests. Also have speakers from the Interop Conference, speakers like Rami Mahajan, who's a wonderful guest here on Interop Radio. You may have heard him back at Interop New York. Lots of great interviews, lots of great programs. We hope that you will join us for each and every one of them. Well, for everyone here at Interop and Interop Radio, I'm Kurt Franklin saying thanks so much for being with us. Hey, we'll see you next time.